Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, Alex here with Ahmed. This is kind of an emergency podcast. Nobody got traded. Nobody got signed. But a lot of people have asked us to do an emergency The Giants Are Not Hitting podcast. So this is some variation of that.
So here, Woo! We're coming in.
It's not the worst. I mean, they're 5-6. It's not the worst thing in the world. But I think what people react to, and I understand this, is that what we're seeing is a lot of what we saw last year, which was not supposed to be what's going on. And the one thing I've said, and I've written this, I asked Evan Longoria this today, he didn't totally disagree with it or disagree with it, but I think when you look at what the starting pitching has done and the way some of these guys have held up, given what's happened to the rotation with Baumgartner, Samardzija, now Cueto, I feel like they've kind of wasted a good couple weeks from those guys, and the bullpen has been pretty good aside from a couple issues here and there. So they really could have gotten off to a great start, especially in the division, if the guys who were brought in to hit would hit and if the guys who were still here were bouncing back from last year.
Yeah, I mean, that was – and then it goes both ways, because a game like Tyler Beatty's game
– Who is the guest today
later on. I'm looking forward to hearing that as well. You know, that's a game where he struggled right in the first inning. You're like, oh, that's a loss. And then you get a win in that game. And the Dodger walk-off home run game with Andrew McCutchen, that's a game where you're like, oh, man, they blew their opportunity. They're down in the 14th, and they come back and win. So it's gone a little bit both ways.
It could
ways.
Be worse.
It could be worse. That's the way you would look at it, right? It always could be better. Always could be worse. But yeah, and where you're getting the starts and the quality starts, the Derek Holland start, you get that, and you say, wow, it'd be nice to have won that game or given them any run support. But yeah.
I'll say even Suarez today, and Evan said this, I mean, you put a lot of pressure on a young pitcher when he goes out there and he starts the way he did and is just getting no support, which is basically what they're doing every night. They've shown an ability to do stuff in extra innings and late in games they're coming back, but they are putting a lot of pressure on these guys early in games, and I think that just puts them in a tough spot. And that's not really, you know, the lineup is the veteran part of this group right now. Those are the guys I think who are supposed to be carrying the load right now, and they're not.
It's hard because there's two ways of thinking on it. You already touched on it. It's early, which is true, and it's a trend, which is true. And you were hoping that with new faces, that trend wouldn't be still going on this year. There will be light at the end of the tunnel. This team's not going to score 2.5 runs per game for the rest of the season, we don't think. But where's that offense going to come from? Is it going to come from guys who are on the team right now? Is it going to come from guys, a jolt of energy from guys in AAA? You just don't know. You hope, if you're the Giants, it's the guys you have right now, because you're probably not going to make any major changes for another couple of weeks. So it's kind of got to be those guys for the next, you know, 10, 15 games or so.
Yeah, it's going to be – they're heading on the road. I will post this before the road trip starts. But it's San Diego for 4, Phoenix, Arizona, 3 more against the Diamondbacks, and then the Angels. So it's not an easy road trip, especially given their issues with the Padres the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I also think this reminds me a little bit of last year, in that you have this early stretch, and there was a point last year where we were like, they're going to make a change. And I showed up at the ballpark one night, and I hear Christian Arroyo is on his way. And then I think Mike Morse came the next night. So we're not there yet, and I know everybody who wants an emergency podcast, everybody we hear from on Twitter, the people who are watching the postgame show, they want to see changes. They want Duggar. They want Mac Williamson, who's hitting .500 in AAA with 3 homers.
Austin Slater's hitting pretty well.
Austin Slater's doing a good job. I don't think we're there yet, but I also think that this is a road trip where if you start to get towards the end of it and it's still going this way, I would not be surprised if on April 23rd or whenever it is, we show up for the start of that homestand and they've made some changes or you know, swap the roster around a little bit, because I think they do understand that you can't get off to a poor start.
And we talked about it on our pregame show about Hunter, and Hunter Pence has gotten off to a slow start. Bruce Bochy saying after the game that he just seems like his timing is off right now, which I think sometimes Hunter, even when his timing is off, he can still produce and still hit. But I asked the guys, both Javi and Sean Estes, how long of a leash do you have for a guy like Hunter Pence, who you know has been a big part of this franchise for a long time. You are paying $18 million to. They both said end of May, and I thought that was a little long.
I think that's long.
Yeah.
I think there's different things at play here. One of them is this is the last year of his contract, so you're not worried as much long term, I think, and we've already seen that with the fact that they went out and changed his position and made it pretty clear that they're going to do that in the offseason. So I think you're dealing with a different situation from that standpoint. I also think, and we've talked about this at times, and you're seeing this with the moves in the bullpen, you're seeing this with some of the other stuff that's gone on this year, there's more urgency from the front office and a little bit more urgency from the coaching staff, because they realize if they lose 87 games, or, you know, probably not 90-80, they're not going to lose 98 games, they're not going to come close, but there's too much talent there. But they realize another losing season, I think, is going to be tough for a lot of people to survive. So I do think that to wait a third of the season to make changes, and look, Hunter, he's not hitting right now, but there are a lot of guys who aren't hitting, so he's just one example. He is the easiest example, I think, when you look at his position to make changes, given what they have in the minors. But I think they're going to be quicker than they've been in the past to react to these things.
I know there are people out there saying, well, if you're already thinking that in 2 weeks maybe you'll have to make a decision on Hunter, why not just make it right now? But I looked at the numbers last year, and for the last 50 games of the year, he was a .290 hitter with an .800 OPS. And that really is what you're hoping for any guy you would bring up, is that you're hoping that you could get a .290 hitter. That would be great. If Matt comes up and does that, you're like, this is awesome. If Austin Slater does that. And Hunter Pence did it at the major league level just last year, the last 50 games of the season. So, I mean, the final chapter has not been written on Hunter Pence. He's shown it recently. There's some useful baseball there, but you just wonder if how long he can go without producing until, they have to finally make that decision to move on.
Yeah, I think the tough thing for him, and the reason he's going to get brought up a lot, is because he is in the position where you do have some other options. I mean, you're not going to make a change at third. I know people are upset with Longoria right now, but he's going to get going. I believe a lot of these guys are going to get going. I think just track record speaks for a lot of these guys, but I mean, you're just not going to make, this guy's going to be a third baseman. He's here to be the third baseman for 4 years. So he is going to get a lot of time to work out of this. I'm not saying from a playing time standpoint, even from a where he is in the lineup standpoint. I mean, he is here to hit behind Buster Posey. So they're not going to give up on that after 2 weeks. Then you look at some of the other guys. Belt has had a rough go here. They do like to mess with him a little bit. I think he's the one guy who gets pulled out of the lineup pretty easily. But for the most part, he's going to be at first. Crawford's going to be at short every single day. He hasn't hit really either to start the year. So it does all kind of put the spotlight, I think, on the outfielders, with Pence in left and then Jackson in center. But it is up and down the lineup. I mean, Joe Panik got off to a good start, but Buster Posey's the only guy who can say he's been hitting for 11 games.
And it's two ways, too, when you look. It's like they're not performing. But I'll always remember this quote that I was working at MLB Network, and Prince Fielder was asked one time, was like, hey, your team's not hitting. It's been like a week long, and you've been shut out like three times. What's the deal? And he goes, pitchers drive Mercedes too. You know, they drive Porsches too. So they, they're highly paid to perform a task, and they can, they're more than capable to do that. And you'll look at the pitchers that the Giants have faced, Kershaw, all the Dodgers staff, one of the best staffs in all of baseball. And then the Arizona Godley with his curveball, and then Corbin's been great. And then you get Robbie Ray, who can be on fire and has been in Cy Young talks last year. So they didn't even face Zach Greinke. So, they've faced some very high quality pitchers, some of the best pitchers they'll face all season long. The other edge of that is that they're going to see him again and again.
That's
and you have to beat them if you want to get to the playoffs.
The rotation's barring injury, I mean, you are going to see Rich Hill over and over again. You're going to see Kershaw every series. You're going to see, I think, when they go to Arizona next week, pretty much these same guys, I think, for the most part. So they're going to see all these guys. They're going to see every team 19 times in the division. So that the ones that have the good rotations, you got to figure them out, because otherwise you're just going to be buried. You mentioned you spent 2 days with Javi and Estes here. Poor Javi got smacked in the face by
a
wiffle ball, right?
Yeah, he's okay, right? I think. I don't know. His ego may be more bruised than anything right now. I really can't get a good read on
it. It was good TV. But what were you what were their impressions? And like I mentioned, Tyler Beattie's coming up. We saw Suarez today. What were their impressions of Beattie and Suarez?
They liked them both. I mean, they thought there were some quality things for both the guys. They were really impressed with what Andrew Suarez was able to do with his command and his strikeout ability, because I think a comp that we've heard a lot around him is Ty Block. And
yeah.
I don't think that's a strike thrower, yes. And so that's how they're very similar. But Suarez, we saw 7 strikeouts in his first start. He can get the swing and miss stuff. And Beattie doesn't have that to that extent. And Beattie has a little bit more of the command and control issues that we've seen throughout the minor leagues. So I think right now they both see Andrew Suarez as a guy, you know what you're going to get. I think the floor is lower with Andrew Suarez, and I don't think the ceiling is that much, you know, less than it is for a Tyler Beattie. You might have that still upside of a number 2 or number 3 with Tyler Beattie, where it might be a 4-3 with Andrew Suarez, but I think the floor, both of them think the floor is a lot lower with Andrew Suarez. And it's interesting, if you were to ask the Giants on who they'd rather have go Sunday, and it's Sunday, I think, in San
Sunday,
Diego.
It'll be Tyler Beattie.
It will be
Tyler
Beattie.
We didn't know at the time I talked to him, but it was announced shortly thereafter.
But you wonder if they think, boy, if we could have flipped that previously, they maybe would have done that. But both could be very good. But I think the early returns and the kind of what they're saying about both of them is Suarez impressed them just a little bit more the first time around.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching Beattie closely on Sunday for one reason. The stuff is better, but he only got 4 swings and misses in his first start. 2 of them were the opposing pitchers. So you know, that has been a little bit with him. The stuff is good. The strikeouts aren't always there, which you expect with the kind of stuff he has. So that'll be interesting to see against the Padres. I do agree with you that the Giants probably, they feel that Suarez is a little bit more major league ready. And he is. The tie block comp is there, except the fastball is a little bit better. The slider's better. He does have that out pitch. Needs to not hang it, because we saw him do that a couple times and got burned. But that was some overthrowing, but I do think that is a guy that has not been talked about a lot, and I'm glad people got to see him today, because if I had to guess, of this whole group of young pitchers who are here, who's, you know, the most likely to be a fixture in the rotation for a couple years, I think it would be him, just because of what we saw today. I mean, he's going to throw strikes, he's going to work quickly, he knows what he's doing, and he's a lefty with decent stuff, so...
Yeah.
That plays.
I think they both have a chance to stick, for sure. I think they both could stick this year. I mean, I can see them making double-digit starts this year. And then you get into the bullpen a little bit was another thing that Javi and Sean were talking about. And you do worry a little bit about Sam Dyson, because that velocity has not been what it has been in the past.
Yeah, that's
94.
Another one I'll throw on the road trip of, you start to wonder about, you know, what
yeah.
guys have this year. And,
and for a team that was towing the line of the CBT tax, the 197 all year, you start to look at the $4 million to Sam Dyson, and if he doesn't pick it up, you're like, God, that might not have been a wise investment in the offseason. You didn't know at the time, for sure.
Supposed to be the eighth inning guy.
Supposed to be the eighth inning guy, and all we saw last year, nothing would have told us differently. So you hope for a little pickup there in the bullpen, but for the most part, the bullpen's been very good early this season.
All right, Amin and I are back. We're going to try to do this more regularly.
Yes.
We are, despite the fact that we're on TV talking to each other every night and that we get confused for each other all the time,
we
we're
do.
Rarely in the same place at the same time.
Almost
so
never.
This is hard to do, but we will do this more often, and I appreciate all the people who have asked us, a lot of people who have asked, when are you guys going to pod again? So we will do this more often. I am headed on the road, and that includes Phoenix, where there is a Wendy's in the airport. A nice little stop on the way home, which I do quite often. So a reminder that our sponsor is Wendy's, home of the new Smoky Mushroom Bacon Cheeseburger, which is here for a limited time only. We always appreciate Wendy's. Minor leaguers appreciate Wendy's.
Absolutely.
Which is what we saw. They love to
although
eat
they treat them really well. Don't they get catered to in San Jose
they
now?
They stepped
by,
it up.
By Whole Foods.
I was surprised
catering.
When I went to Sacramento. They've really stepped it up.
Yeah.
But the food is good up there now, and these guys have experienced it. Now they got to experience it in the big leagues, and I talked to Tyler Beattie about everything, not about food, but everything else about his debut. Here is Tyler. All right, Tyler Beattie, I think I've had you on my podcast twice in the last two or three years, at least this off season, but never as an actual big leaguer. So first of all, you just told me you slept like a baby last night. What was last night and this morning like waking up as a San Francisco Giant?
Yeah, I think it's finally set in. You know, the first, 24 hours was really just, just kind of being in the moment and, just trying to be immersed in the team and be a part of it and obviously get ready for my start. And now that I'm, past the start and kind of let it sink in last night with my family and just kind of slept like a baby, there was all the adrenaline and all the emotion that was tied up in those 24 hours really just kind of drained me a little bit, drained my family. So I was able to sleep good. And then coming into today, just I was telling Marty Lurie, just like, you get ready for that first big league start and you let it be a moment that you can enjoy with yourself and your family and the teammates. And then today it's a matter of being a big leaguer and being a professional and getting back here and knowing what I need to work on and improve on and just getting back to work.
I want to go back kind of to the end of the spring and then also about a week ago. You guys knew, you and Andrew knew, that they would need a fifth starter at some point, and then you get sent down to Inland Empire to stay on turn. Are you allowing that to creep into the back of your mind that there's only really one reason I would be throwing, I don't know how many you threw that night, but this many pitches in an A-ball game?
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly at that point in the whole process, I knew that whoever was pitching on the fifth, essentially opening day, would be the guy that the Giants needed on the 10th. So, I knew, and I tried not to let it hinder my mindset of just going out and competing. But, yeah, it was in the back of my head for sure, and it was exciting. I wanted to kind of, get through that, that start as soon as I could and just, find out the news. And, ended up going from Inland Empire back to Tacoma and just kind of playing the waiting game for a little bit and just kind of letting things develop and then, obviously found out after that.
What's the immediate process when Brundage tells you? I mean, who gets the first call? Your wife, your parents, your brother, I know, has always been a huge supporter of yours, was there last night buying the Beattie jersey.
Yeah, I called my wife first because she's working right now, so she would have had an off day today, or she has an off day today, so she would have been able to make it today. So I really wanted to just let her know that I was going to be pitching on the 10th, or scheduled to pitch on the 10th, and she was a little bummed, but she was obviously super excited, so I just wanted to tell her and kind of share that emotion with her in that at that moment. And then I called my dad right away after that, and that was more of an emotional phone call that kind of brought us both to tears just because of our relationship and the things he sacrificed for me to get here and be where I am. And then following that, it was my mom, my brother, grandparents and in-laws, and then stuff like that. So telling friends and tried to tell as many people as I could without missing anybody, but I had to catch a flight to San Francisco at some point, towards that day.
I know you pitched in Oakland a couple years ago. Was that last night the first time you pitched here since Silicon Valley?
Yes, it was. I'm glad you brought that up because for a while I was getting worried that my only appearance here would be on a TV show, and that would have been pretty crushing to me. So, I'm glad I finally got a second appearance here on the mound, and it was against real hitters and not Silicon Valley cast. Yeah.
Take me through kind of – you're the first guy in the field. You run out to the mound. Did you look around a little bit, or do you just look for Buster right away?
I literally was leaning on Buster the whole time. When I was running out here, I came out here a little early, and I just, did my running and, just getting loose, and I just gave myself a little bit to look up to the upper deck and look around. And, right away I saw some familiar faces. My high A host family was there by the bullpen, and so that was – more comforting than I expected it to be, just to see people that I recognized. And it's a pretty surreal place to pitch. It's a very big stadium and they pack it out, so for the first one, just to kind of hear the crowd noise and to see it filled up and then to run out there and just try to treat it like any other game, it was hard to do because it's not like any other game, but it was a lot of fun just to be able to experience the range of emotions that kind of came with the process.
Can you feel in the first inning kind of the difference in adrenaline from whether it's a spring start or a AAA start, or you've been in some big spots in college, but was last night actually different adrenaline-wise?
Yeah, I think so. The adrenaline was from the moment I woke up to the time I took the field. And so I think, in starts going forward, I would like the adrenaline to kick in maybe once game time starts as opposed to when I wake up. so I'm not drained. Like, I think after I finished the first inning and there was just, like, so much adrenaline. I came back and sat down and I felt like I was wiped out, like I'd already thrown eight innings. So, really after that, it was, like, just battle. You know, I was like, this is how you're going to feel. And, you know, it may not be your best stuff. It may not look pretty, but just try to put up zeros and keep us in a position to win the game. And so, the adrenaline was at an all-time high throughout the whole day.
You told us afterwards you came in, and in that first inning they got to you, Pollock pulled one down the line, and you kind of said, just keep it here. Yeah. It's got to be it. These guys haven't been hitting much, and you give up two in the first. So what was kind of the mind frame when you came and sat here in the dugout after the first?
Yeah, I just didn't want to let them get anything else. You know, obviously giving up two in the first, never the best thing in the world, but it's all about how you respond. You know, I think anytime, whether you give up two in the first or whatever, second or third, it's just a matter of getting back in the dugout and resetting, hitting the reset button and going out and just getting back to throwing quality pitches and trying to execute a good plan from pitch to pitch. And so I think that's what you try to do, whether it be from pitch to pitch or inning to inning, is just kind of hitting the reset button and trying to keep them, you know, at bay. And so, that's what I tried to do. It didn't look pretty, but I kept them off the scoreboard after that.
I think you threw a changeup to Avila early and got the strikeout, and then threw about 20 of them, a lot last night than your slider and curveball. Is that one of those things where during the game, is that Buster, or is that you realizing that, look, maybe my command isn't here tonight, but the changeup is a pitch that's working for me?
Yeah, I credit Buster because I obviously wasn't shaking him at all because I trust what he's putting down in his game plan. But the changeups for me is a weapon, you know, to righties and lefties, and albeit it wasn't, the most consistent pitch for me yesterday, when I go to it and it's a good pitch, it can be effective. So I think it was just a matter of trying to gain feel of the pitch throughout the game and trying to have it be a pitch that I could go to. And I got some, you know, key outs with it, and ground outs, strikeouts. And so, yeah, that's going to be a big pitch for me going forward. And so I think it was just a matter of Buster wanting me to get a better feel for it.
You got an at-bat last night, which I don't know if I've ever seen before. You did strike out, but I looked it up during the game. You're a 204 hitter in the minors. So what do we need to know about Tyler Beattie, the hitter?
I'm going to take some aggressive swings. If I need to bunt, I'll be sure to put a good bunt down if needed. When I get the chance to swing, I'm going to not that Madison Bumgarner, but I'm going to try to put a good swing on it and put it out of the ballpark. Hopefully, you know, I don't think I'll ever do it, but we'll see. I took a big swing yesterday, probably missed it by 3 feet, and then he buckled me on a curveball. So he's a good pitcher, and, hopefully I'll be able to face him again soon.
Do you remember your last home run?
High school for sure. Okay. But I will say, you know, me and the guys, we in spring training, we had some impressive BPs, and I was able to, you know, give myself confidence that I could put one out of the ballpark, at least in Arizona, thin air, but we'll see.
So you have an interesting situation here that you made your debut, and then Andrew Suarez, we're talking on a morning before Andrew's going to make his debut. Have you had a chance to talk to him? Did you give him any advice about what it was like to actually get out there?
Well, so since he was on taxi squad last night, I didn't see him. I think he either was here in the dugout or in the locker room, or he went back to the hotel. So I literally haven't seen him. I know he's in there right now, and I don't want to bug him at all. I know he's confident. He has the ability to go out here and have success, and so I'm going to let him do his thing. And maybe, you know, down the road we can communicate about how we both felt and kind of what we can both do going forward to improve. And it's a bright future for him. I've seen him pitch all spring. He's locked in. And I'm excited to see him out there today.
Have you guys had a chance to talk about just how strange it is that, I mean, you basically were competing for the spot, and then you go back-to-back in about, 18 hours?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been pulling for him. I pull for, you know, obviously all the guys in the rotation. And so it's really cool that we're all kind of here together. We're all good friends. And so to experience kind of these moments together is pretty surreal. I think something we'll be able to look back on and let it sink in more. But I'm super happy for him. You know, I hopefully his family was able to come out. And it'll be an exciting day for him, and we'll all be rooting for him when he's out there.
Final question I have for you. What does your cell phone look like after you make your MLB debut?
Yeah, I mean, I really did. I didn't, I deleted social media except for Instagram just because it's a platform that I feel like I can share some things on in an organic way. But I deleted, you know, Twitter and everything else, that kind of things that would maybe distract me. And so, I did my best to reply to all the text messages as soon as they came in throughout the day. I don't know if that was the right thing to do or not, but I felt like it was, you know, kind of my personality.
I wanted to.
It was really cool just to see the wide range of people who reached out, whether it be close friends, old friends, people I didn't really know, and then to just say positive things about maybe things I've done to impact their lives and So it gave me, a good feeling just to be able to appreciate those people coming out and saying, congratulations for that. And so, I tried to respond as quickly as I could throughout the day.
Who is the most random person you heard from?
I wouldn't say random. I mean, Brett Saberhagen, he played for the Royals back in the day. He was actually my agent for a bit in high school when I was younger. And, not so much random, but just like
somebody
cool.
From
yeah.
The past,
somebody,
yeah.
Somebody from the past who's had a ton of big league success. And a guy who I've looked up to a long time, and he kind of just texted me and saying, hey, you're ready for this, and so on. And there were a few guys like that who texted me.
All right, Tyler Beattie, officially a big leaguer now. You have one under. Yeah. You won on the back of your baseball card. It's no longer just Silicon Valley. So good on that. And I think we're going to see you again Sunday, but I guess we'll find out. When this has all been a whirlwind for us, too, so I guess we'll find out at some point.
Hopefully, Pat. Yeah, hopefully. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
man.
Tyler.
In the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.